Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
All right, thank y'all. Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. We need to pray a little bit for there's something wet to come out of those clouds out there this morning. I had a lady, she was here this morning. She's from Sierra Blanca, Texas. I thought Sierra Blanca's over there, but Sierra Blanca, she said, we used to sing a song and it always guaranteed rain within 100 miles. And the song was, there shall be showers of blessings. Y'all remember that one? Okay, all right. We'll be singing that later. No, okay. Last Sunday, our dishwasher broke. In fact, y'all came over in the middle of fixing the dishwasher. And when the dishwasher broke, Leo came over. He was going to show me how to fix it. And so, you know, he was really good at pointing, but I wasn't really good at following. So before it's all said and done, Leo really did it. But anyway, fixed the dishwasher. But this is what it was. Because it wasn't flowing, it was clogged up and it wasn't flowing outright. It shut the whole thing down. The water couldn't go in. The dishes couldn't be washed, you know, because the water wasn't going out. Y'all, we're talking about the stories of Jesus. And if we're just letting those stories go in and we're not letting them go out, it's not going to work. The grace, the love, the forgiveness, the healing of Jesus is not just meant to be sent to us. It's meant to flow through us. So, by the way, we got it fixed. It's running great. It was a little kink in the pipe. So this morning, if you got a little kink in the pipe, let the Lord clean you out. Let the Lord fix that up. So the flow is not just coming in. The flow is going out. All right? Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Lord, as we're here this morning and we're going to hear your stories, Lord, let us not just be those who hear and those who receive. Let us be those who are willing to let those stories flow to us, but also through us for others. Come, Lord, meet with us today. Every single one of us needs your presence, needs your Holy Spirit, needs your touch this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you this morning that your love is in this house. Lord, because you are in this house. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, every single one of us were created for that love not to be a concept, for it to be a reality. Lord, you created us for relationship with you. In these moments, let there be holy, sacred, just time and presence here as you fill this place and you fill us with your presence. Come, Lord, make your love real to each and every person here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hear and receive the stories of Jesus, all right? Hear him, hear his voice. This is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had so he could buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found that one great pearl of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought the pearl. Lord Jesus, this morning, let the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, not just be something we hear about or talk about. Let that kingdom be born in us. Let your kingdom come in us this very morning. Now, Jesus, let us understand, let us hear, let us receive the truth of you, your truth. Not, Lord, I do pray that we don't hear me as much as we hear you this morning. In your name, Jesus, amen. Y'all be seated. To y'all, three great themes in these two short and pithy parables of Jesus. First, the kingdom of God has great value. Second, the kingdom of God requires great sacrifice. And third, the kingdom of God brings great joy to our lives. So when Jesus says, by the way, the kingdom of heaven is like, he's telling us what the rule and reign of God should be like in our own lives. And when he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like, he's telling us what it looks like when Jesus the King is made real in our lives. So first this morning, we see that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and by the way, these are interchangeable phrases in the Gospels. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God has great and ultimate value. I remember when Janie and I first started dating, and I remember when we first started kind of getting serious, and I remember when we got ready to get engaged. When we got ready to get engaged, I went down to the bank. I had saved money my whole life, my money from mowing grass, money from working at the John Deere house, money from raising pigs, even money I'd made when I was 9 years old at the Lorenzo Leader football contest. Anyway, when it was time to buy Janie's ring, I went down to the bank and I gladly cashed out my account. I never once considered not doing it because Janie did then and Janie does now still mean the world to me. I remember our first house we bought. It was at 1704 Bittersweet. I think we have it up there, Bentley. 1704 Bittersweet in Ruston, Louisiana. And I think we bought our house for less than $50,000. It had 1,400 square feet on the inside, but a humongous yard on the outside. When you look at the far right, the older couple who had bought the house, that we bought the house from, they built an RV garage, which became our covered basketball porch, or our covered basketball court. Across the street from our house was a playground at Glenview Elementary. And when Haley was little, I mean 3, 4, and 5 years old, I pushed her on the swing forever. And we spent hours and hours and hours playing baseball and softball on the school ball field. You see that big pine tree on the left? That's where we killed the snake that was after a nest of baby robin eggs. In 1991, $50,000 was crazy money for us. But that house was worth every penny because that house wasn't just some piece of real estate. That house was our home, where we learn to love Jesus and learn to love each other together. 16 years ago, a Filipino fisherman made an amazing discovery in the sea off the coast of Palawan Island in the Philippines. The fisherman found this over 2-foot-long pearl inside a giant clam. If the pearl's that big, imagine how big the clam is, right? The unnamed fisherman took the pearl home and hid it under his bed, keeping it as a good luck charm. In 2016, the man's home burned down, but the massive pearl survived. According to the officials in the Philippines, the pearl has been verified 26 inches in length, 12 inches in width, and weighing nearly 75 pounds. Guess how much this is worth? Over $100 million. The kingdom of heaven, the rule and the reign of Jesus in your life, is like something that is worth so much that you will do whatever it takes to get it. I wonder if Jesus really means that much to you this morning. I mean, I wonder if it means everything for you, for Jesus to actually be the King who lives and reigns in your heart. I wonder if Jesus really is number one in your life. I wonder if Jesus truly matters most to you. Jesus said in Mark 8, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life has got to lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man, a woman, to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his or her own soul? What can a man, a woman give in return for his or her soul? Luke 12:15, Jesus said, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his or her possessions. Listen to me. One's life does not consist in what he or she possesses, but rather the value of your life is in who possesses you. Second, we see that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, requires a great sacrifice. The owner goes and sells everything he has. He gives up everything that belongs to him so that he can get the one thing that matters most. So that he can get the one thing that he truly needs. He sells it all. Do you know someone who's actually done that, by the way? I mean, in your own life, in your own relationships, do you know someone who's actually given up everything they have to find the one thing they truly need? Abraham left everything he knew to go out and experience the fulfillment of God's promises. The disciples left their boats and they left their families and they left their hometown to go and be with Jesus. Yes, Andy, but you know, that's then. You know, that's the Bible days. But what about now? What about in our day? Who is someone who gave up everything they had so that they could know the kingdom of heaven? Who's somebody that gave up everything they had so that they could experience the way of Jesus made real and alive in their lives? In 1955, Jim Elliot and four other missionaries, that's Roger Udarian, Pete Fleming, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, and Ed McCulty. Jim Elliot and his four friends set out for Ecuador to reach an unreached tribe with the good news of Jesus. The name of that tribe that God had laid on their hearts was the Hurani tribe. The Hurani people had lived as forest hunters and gatherers in the heart of the Ecuadorian Amazon for hundreds, perhaps even thousands of years. And they saw anyone and everyone, including other tribes, anyone and everyone from outside their tribe as enemies who were out to kill them. So Jim and his friends studied the Warani people, and they began learning the Warani language. They prayed for the Warani people, and they sought to establish friendly connections with the tribe. They flew their little yellow plane into the middle. I think we have a picture of the plane. They flew their little yellow plane into the middle of the Amazon forest, and on multiple trips, they were able to leave food and supplies for the Warani. They had what they thought were these favorable encounters with the Warani. But on January 8, 1956, all five missionaries were speared to death by the tribe. Later, the families of those tribes would continue their outreach and ministry. And the Warani tribesman named Menkaye became one of the first followers of Jesus. And now, a full generation later, almost all the Waranis have come to know and love Jesus. Now, this is a picture, next picture. This is a picture of Menkaye with Nate Saint's son, Steve. Remember Nate? He was one of the five. They had their picture taken together because it was Menkaye who had speared Steve's father to death. But now in Christ, Menkaye and Steve, now in Christ, they are as father and son to one another. Only in Jesus, only in Jesus could that even begin to be possible. If any man is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come. I share all of that with you to share just one sentence from Jim Elliot's journal that he wrote just a few weeks before he and his friends were martyred for Jesus. Jim wrote these words, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. This morning, are you willing to pay the great price? Are you willing to give your all to Jesus? Give your all to the one who gave his all to you. The third observation is that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, brings great joy to our lives. When that guy in Jesus' story got his treasure, he was overjoyed, thrilled, ecstatic, elated. He finally had what he had always dreamed of. 60 years ago, August 28th, 1963, Martin Luther King preached his famous I Have a Dream speech to hundreds of thousands of people in the Washington Mall. You remember the speech? I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of the character. I have a dream. And quoting directly from Isaiah chapter 40, Dr. King says, I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low, and the rough places will be made smooth and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with a new meaning. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside let freedom ring. And when this happens, Dr. King says, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, male and female, we will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. You know the speech, right? Well, that God-given dream came out of the nightmare of the oppression, struggle, and violence of decades and centuries past. And just 4 months earlier, Dr. King, in January of 1963, he's sitting in a jail cell in Birmingham. And from that jail, Dr. King wrote a painful and heartfelt letter to a group of Southern white pastors like me. He wrote the letter addressing their very vocal criticisms about the fight for justice and reconciliation. This is what he said. I don't think, this is on the screen, most of us may not be familiar with it. Said, we have waited for more than 340 years for our constitutional and God-given rights. The nations of Asia and Africa are moving with jet-like speed toward gaining political independence, but we still creep at horse and buggy pace toward gaining a cup of coffee at a lunch counter. If you know the history, you remember the story. Perhaps it is easy for those who have never felt the stinging darts of segregation to say, just wait, just, you know, we'll take care of this. But when you have seen vicious mobs lynch your mothers and fathers at will and drown your sisters and brothers at whim, when you have seen hate-filled policemen curse, kick, and even kill your black brothers and sisters, when you see the vast majority of your 20 million Negro brothers smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society, when you suddenly find your tongue twisted and your speech stammering as you seek to explain to your six-year-old daughter why she can't go to the public amusement park that's just been advertised on television, and you see ominous clouds of inferiority beginning to form in her little mental sky, and you see her beginning to distort her personality by developing an unconscious bitterness toward white people, when you have to concoct an answer for a five-year-old son who's asking, Daddy, why do white people treat colored people so mean? When you're forever fighting a degenerating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait. There comes a time when the cup of endurance runs over and men are no longer willing to be plunged into the abyss of despair. He says, I hope, sirs, I hope, pastors, I hope, brothers, that you can understand our legitimate and unavoidable impatience. And then 5 years later, on the evening of April 3rd, 1968, on the night before Dr. King was assassinated, Dr. King closed out his sermon that night with these words. He said, well, I don't know what will happen now, We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop, and I don't mind, like anybody, I'd like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people, we will get to the promised land. He says, and I'm happy tonight. I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And the next day, Martin Luther King was dead outside his hotel room, but very much alive in heaven with Jesus. You see, when you paid the great price, you get the great joy, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your needs, no matter what your struggles. When you pay the great price, you get the great reward of God's presence with you now and always. And guess what? The world didn't give you that joy. And the world can never, never, ever take it away. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went out and sold all that he had and he bought that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like, can you let that parable be turned around? And now Jesus is the one who's searching. And you are his great treasure. You are his pearl of great price. You have ultimate value, worth, significance to Jesus. And so Jesus, for you and because of you, he paid the great price, right? Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to purchase you from death, to purchase you from sin, to purchase you from evil. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, God made him who knew no sin to become sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He went to the cross. He took the cross, but he took our sin. He became sin. He became our sin, so that in him, in his death, in his resurrection, by the power of his Spirit, we become the very righteousness of God. He paid the price. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, remember, all things were created through him and for him. He had all things. All things were at his feet, and he lays it all down. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor so that by his poverty you might become rich. Jesus gave up his life so that we might find life. Jesus bore our pain and our suffering and our sin so that we could be set free. Jesus died so that we could live. Jesus paid the great price so we could know the great reward. So we could know the great joy. Because you were his great treasure, who was worth the greatest price ever paid, when Jesus bought you, when Jesus finally found you, there was indeed great joy throughout the heavens for your salvation. Y'all remember over in Luke 15, Jesus is telling this story. He talks about, you know, the shepherd's got 100 sheep, 99 are found, but one is lost. They go and find the lost sheep, and this is what happens. And when he finds it, that lost sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, carries the sheep home, and then he calls his friends and his neighbors together, says, hey, come and have a party. Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. And Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner, over you, when you turn to God, over one sinner who repents, than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Story about the lost coin. When the woman finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, Jesus says, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This morning, we baptized Cindy Uhlenbach, and I'm just telling you right now, we were all happy in the room, but they were having a party in heaven. You want them... You want Jesus to have joy, then give yourself to Jesus. Turn from all the stuff of this world and turn toward Him. You want there to be a party in heaven? You want there to be joy in the mind and the heart of God? Then give your life to Him. Lord Jesus, this morning, we see what the kingdom of heaven is like. We hear your story. But Lord, you're wanting us to receive the story. You want us to receive the kingdom. And the only way we get the kingdom is when we get the King. So Lord, come. Come, King Jesus. Come and forgive us and heal us and free us from all the stuff that has us bound. Let us not be defined by the things of this world. Let us go after the one and only thing that truly matters. Let us find the great value that is in you. Let us pay the great sacrifice of giving ourselves to you. And let the great joy of the presence of your Spirit be ours today, tomorrow, and forever. Lord, let us love you even as you have loved us. In your name we pray. Amen. Jesus, we thank you this morning that we belong to you, that we are yours. We are forever yours. That changes everything. Lord, you've claimed us. You've said we're worth it. We're worthy of the sacrifice that you made for us. And so, God, with great joy, we leave this house today knowing that we belong to you, knowing that you will never leave us or forsake us, knowing that you have a beautiful plan and purpose for every single person here. So God, again, the story is not just for us to receive. The story is for us to go and live. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for the kingdom born in every person here. Lord, may that kingdom be shared from every person here as we leave this day, go out into the world that you love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless y'all. You got out early. Love on each other a little bit.